Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Brake Lab style jungle pad drift clean in Ableton Live 12, designed for old school DNB energy, but kept tight enough for real DJ tool use. So the goal here is not a giant cinematic pad that swallows the mix. We want something more useful than that. We want a controlled, dusty, slightly vintage atmosphere that can sit under brakes, support a bass line, and help your track move through intro, breakdown, and switch up sections without losing momentum. If you've worked with jungle or old-school-inspired drum and bass before, you already know the formula. Hard drums, deep bass, and some kind of emotional fog floating in the background. That fog is what we're making here. It gives contrast. It gives air. It gives the track a sense of journey instead of just loop repetition. And for DJ tools, that matters even more. A good pad can become a clean intro bid, a loopable tension layer, or a transition texture that helps mix one tune into another without fighting the kick, snare, or sub. So as we go, think like a producer, but also think like a selector. First, set the project up for the right feel. Start at 174 BPM, open a fresh live set, and keep the layout simple. One MIDI track for the pad, one for drums, one for bass, and one return track for atmosphere if you want to send things out later. Make yourself an 8-bar loop right away. In jungle and old school DNB, 8 and 16 bars are your best friends because they let you introduce a texture without making it feel static. If you already have a break loop, keep it running while you design the pad. That's a big one. Don't design the sound in isolation. The pad has to survive the break. It has to sit with a rhythm, not just sound pretty on its own. For the source sound, keep it simple and harmonically rich. Wavetable, analog, or operator all work well here. A good starting point is a saw or triangle saw blend on oscillator 1, another slightly detuned saw on oscillator 2, and light unison, maybe 2 to 4 voices. Keep the detune subtle. You want movement, not trans super saw chaos. Then filter it. A low-pass filter with moderate resonance is the move. Start the cutoff somewhere in the 1.5 to 4 kHz range, and let automation do the rest. For the envelope, keep the attack gentle, maybe 20 to 80 milliseconds, with a release anywhere from 300 milliseconds to about 1.5 seconds depending on how soft you want it to feel. Sustain can sit medium-high so the chord holds nicely, and decay can stay short to medium if you want a little pulse inside the chord. Why this works in DNB is pretty simple. The pad needs to feel wide and emotional, but it cannot steal the transient space from the break. A bright, over-open source sound will fight the snare, the hats, and the top loop texture. A filtered, harmonically rich source gives you the body without overcrowding the mix. Now write the harmony like a jungle tune, not a trance tune. Keep it moody and simple. Minor 7ths, suspended voicings, rootless inversions, or even two note shapes can work beautifully. If you're in D minor, for example, something like DM7 moving to BB Maj 7, then Csus2, then back to DM7 can sound great. Or keep it even more neutral and dark with DM, C, BB, C. The key here is not to overbuild the chord. Jungle pads often work better when they leave space for the break chops and for sub or res later on. Keep most of the MIDI above the sub range, usually from around C3 upward. If you want more drift than progression, hold one chord for 2 bars and just change the top note a little. That kind of small motion gives you atmosphere, without turning the arrangement into a chord study. Next comes movement. Add auto filter after the instrument and use it to make the pad drift in a smooth, subtle way. Go for a low pass 12 or 24 dB filter, keep resonance low to moderate, and automate the cutoff between roughly 800 Hz and 8 kHz depending on the section. You can also use the filter envelope a little if you want a gentle pluck, but keep it understated. If you have modulation tools available in Live 12, use them very slowly. We're talking movement over 1 bar, 2 bars, maybe even longer. Smooth, sine-like motion is perfect. Nothing too obvious. The idea is to make the sound feel alive while the drums stay dominant. A really useful extra move is using utility for stereo control. You can automate the width from around 90% to 140%, but be careful. The pad can get wider over time, but keep the low end centered. In DNB, that slow drift gives the ear a place to rest between break hits without distracting from the groove. Now let's dirty it up a little, but only a little. Add saturator or roar if you want some analog style pressure. The distortion should be felt more than heard. Start with just 1 to 4 dB of drive, maybe soft clip if needed, and trim the output so you keep headroom. If you want more old school grit, vinyl distortion can work too, but use it lightly. A touch of texture is great. Too much and the pad becomes noisy and tiring. After that, clean up the tone with a Q8 high pass somewhere around 150 to 300 HC so the pad stays out of the bass zone. If the break is busy and the pad is getting boxy, dip a bit around 250 to 500 HC or soften the area around 2.5 to 5K HC if there's harshness. If the top end gets fizzy, gently roll off above 10 to 12 KHC. This matters because in jungle and drum and bass, the high end is already crowded. The break has hats, ride patterns, shaker noise, maybe vinyl crackle or percussion layers. The pad should live in the same world, but it should not compete with those elements. Now for one of the most important steps, resample the pad. This is where the Break Lab approach really comes alive. Don't just leave it as a MIDI part. Print it to audio. Record 8 bars while you automate the filter and width. Then consolidate the best phrase, slice it if needed, duplicate it for intro and outro use, and even reverse one copy for a transition swell. If the sound needs warping, use it carefully. Complex Pro can work nicely for smoother sustained material, but don't overstretch it until it turns to mush. The reason we resample is simple. Once the pad is audio, it stops being just a synth patch and becomes an arrangement tool. Now you can treat it like a DJ element, not just a sound design exercise. At this point, test it against the drums and bass. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They make a pad that sounds beautiful in solo, then it falls apart the second the break enters. Don't do that. The pad should be supporting the groove, not flattening it. A nice structure to test is this. First 8 bars, pad alone or pad plus a filtered break. Next 8 bars, bring in the full break but keep the pad filtered. Then add the sub or reese and narrow the pad a little. After that, open the pad up for a breakdown or switch up. For the outro, filter it back down so it works for mixing. Instead of hard on and off changes, use volume and filter automation. Even a small 1 or 2 dB rise or fall across 8 bars can feel really musical. If the bass line is active, try a little sidechain compression from the kick or even the snare, or just use manual volume dips on key hits. Jungle often lives around snare movement, so ducking the pad from the snare can make it feel glued to the break. Now clean up the stereo field. Use utility and EQ8 to keep the pad mix ready. High pass it. Check mono compatibility, and only widen the upper texture if needed. Utility width around 110 to 130% can work, but don't overdo it. If the pad collapses badly in mono, simplify it or reduce the widening. In DNB, wide atmospheres are great, but low mid-phase issues can weaken the whole track fast. A good balance to aim for is this. In a full drum and bass section, the pad should be felt more than heard. In the intro, it can come forward. In the drop, it should support the groove and let the drums stay in charge. If you want to push it further, think in layers, not in one perfect pad. A main chord layer plus a faint helper layer can sound much richer. One layer for body, one for shimmer, one for movement. You can also leave rhythmic holes on purpose. If your break is busy, let the pad phrase breathe in 2-bar chunks or leave a gap at the end of the phrase. That contrast sounds huge. Here are a few useful variations you can try after the main pass. First, a clean atmospheric bed. Keep the motion minimal, the width controlled, and the automation light. This is great for intros and DJ mixing. Second, a tension pad. Use a band pass move or a slow high pass sweep so it feels like the track is climbing toward a drop. Third, a broken harmonic drift. Chop the resampled audio into 1-bar or half-bar slices and rearrange them slightly off-grid for a more cut-up jungle feel. Fourth, a call and response pad. Let one layer answer the snare pattern by opening only on the second half of each 2-bar phrase. And fifth, a dubby ghost layer. Duplicate the pad. Filter it heavily, send it into delay or reverb, and keep it very low in the mix so it feels like a shadow behind the main sound. A few extra sound design tricks can take this even further. Try a chorus or ensemble before the filter for a more hardware-like, older character. Add tiny tuning differences between layers for that tape-style instability. If the pad fights the snare or hats, use dynamic EQ instead of permanently cutting the tone. And if you want atmosphere without clutter, send the pad to a filtered reverb return instead of drowning the main signal directly. For arrangement, think like a DJ tool. Start with the pad alone, then bring in a filtered break, then a hint of bass, then full drums. That creates a natural ramp for mixes. You can also use it as a mid-track reset by dropping the drums for a bar or two and letting the pad swell into the next section. Or use it as a breakdown bridge where the pad becomes the only harmonic anchor while everything else thins out. One last thing. Bounce early, edit later. Once the pad is close, print it to audio and make tiny clip-level edits. That makes it way easier to handle like an arrangement object instead of a synth preset. And honestly, that's the whole spirit of this approach. We're not just building a sound. We're building something that helps the record breathe, move, and mix properly. So here's your practice challenge. Build 3 8-bar versions of the same pad over the same 174 BPM break. Make one version strict, clean, narrower, and minimal for DJ mixing. Make one version more atmospheric, wider, and better for breakdowns. And make one version with more saturation, more noise texture, and more obvious modulation for that gritty jungle feel. Then resample all three, export them as audio clips, and test them in an intro, a breakdown, and an outro. If you have time, make a fourth clip by reversing the atmospheric take and using it as a pre-drop lead-in. By the end of this, you should have more than just a pad. You should have a tool, a drift layer that can support breaks, bass, transitions, and mix energy without getting in the way. If you get this right, your pad won't just fill space. It'll help the track move like a proper DNB record.